First Thessalonians, chapter 4. Yesterday we studied verse 10, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And we found out in verse 9 that we talked about that you are taught of God, not of man. So verse 11, that you study to be quiet and to do your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. In my opinion, that's probably the most mistranslated scripture as a whole in the Bible.
I was just going to say.
Study is, it's strive earnestly to make something your own. It's has nothing to do with what we think of as study. It make it one's own aim, whatever's set before you. Now, be quiet has nothing to do with be quiet. It's a word that I can't pronounce. Heisakazo, which means to cease from your labor. Business. It just means it's idios. It means that's where we get the word idiot. It means things pertaining to yourself. It has nothing to do with any kind of that word business. You work with is to cause to exist or to be worked out or to be revealed. And a hand, it means simply to lay hold of. And as we commanded is simply charged. Like I was constantly saying, charge meanings revealed or, you know, that kind of thing. So what does it say? That you strive earnestly to cease from your own labors and cause to be, by laying hold of it with your own hand, that which I have commanded you or charged you, i.e., the whole section is about love one another. Now, I don't know why that's translated that way, because in the other places, like in where we're going to go, it's the same idea, but it's translated differently. So let's go first to Philippians chapter 2.
Which order are we looking at?
We're looking at the whole deal. This whole of Philippians chapter 2 is about this mind of Christ. He made himself of no reputation, etc. And then it says that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under earth, under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, we've talked about that in a minute. I don't want to go there. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in mine absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what the thing in Thessalonians that we just read and studied means. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Now let's go to the better conceptual thing in Hebrews chapter 4. Now, when I say mistranslated, it's like in English, in any language, different words can mean the same thing. And so, as in that First Thessalonians passage, it doesn't fit into the doctrine. It doesn't, but the words could have easily been translated what I said. Okay? So now in Hebrews 4. The whole of chapter 3 was today. Well, it is still called today. Today. Well, it is still called today. Harden not your hearts. Exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest there be any hard-hearted through the deceitfulness of sin. Harden not your hearts today, if it's still called today. And then in chapter 4, it goes further on some of the same theme. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day in this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in the same place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must still enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For as Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. Therefore, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Okay, all that's just the introduction to this same idea as the verse in Thessalonians. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, what does that say? That's a huge deal. We labor to enter into the rest. It's a contradiction in terms. But what does it mean? It means that if you still have something that you feel you must do, then labor with full bore to go do it until you can finally see and empty yourself of all these good ideas and all these worries that you have. So you just finally say, Father, I enter into the rest. I enter into the true meaning of the Sabbath. The Sabbath isn't a day, it's Jesus. In him is the Sabbath. So it's more of this, we've got Christ in us, but we must be in Christ. Okay? So you study, strive earnestly to make it your own, to cease from your own labor. And all this is pertaining to yourself. In other words, no one else can, this can't happen from someone else. That you cease, you work out or cause to exist by laying hold of this mystery of loving one another. And the reason that's so strong as something that must be laid hold of is because in a body of disparate believers, somebody is always going to enter, you're going to despise somebody. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to do something you don't like. And you must, therefore, in that process of laboring to enter into the rest, you must see that that is just revealing an idol within you so that you can truly enter into his rest as God did from his. He rested on the seventh day. Why did he rest on the seventh day? Because everything else is in Christ. Anybody understand?
I don't get the making it your own thing.
Well, you can't benefit if I have done it.
Well, what's empathy there for?
You empathy is you can only benefit by not having to go through the same things that I did. You can't, if, again, let's go through this again.
Sorry.
No, it's good. At the time of the of Genesis, people lived 900 years or more. Now, what does that mean? It means that's how long it took for that vessel to have come to the end of itself. That had by going that as a lone vessel without anything, without any fellow believers, it took that long to be able to see the vanity and futility of all things. Anybody buy that? Okay, now, since Christ, I mean, even before, but since we are commanded, if we believe the Old Testament, to gather into these groups of 10 to 20 people. And remember, the reason for that number is so that it all has to do with Passover, so that everybody would have something full of the lamb, and that there nothing would be left over. So that's why there's 10 to 20 people. Do you understand that? So the idea then of carrying that forward into all of this thing about laboring to enter your rest, there are a whole lot of things on each of us that you can partake of that other person's experience, so you don't have to go through all that. But there are many things also that you have to take care of. It has to be alone.
Oh, right, okay.
That's what that means.
Like, you can't expend my time pegs, and I can't expend yours.
Right.
Okay.
You have to, all this, what's called business there, is that this mystery of it, which has to do with pertaining to yourself.
Okay.
See, it just cements more and more everything that we talk about every day. What?
Great stuff.
Josiah?
Yeah, you can't be a Christian, quote unquote, for me.
No. Yeah. God has no grandchildren.
So it's cool that you see and understand a whole lot of stuff, and I like that. On this side of the fence. Unless I push and go through and fight and kick and draw blood.
Right.
And that's, I think about David, you know, God's favorite. Well, look at all the stuff he did. He was kick ass.
A better one, look at Solomon. He did everything.
Yeah.
All right, so let's look at this. Let's go back. We're in Hebrews, but let's go back to chapter 3. I don't want to leave this until I think we've fully apprehended it. Let's start in verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, this is the same theme as in the Melito of Sardi. You know, the house, I mean, or in this case, is that Israel once had value because it was a parable. But now that which is perfect has come. The temple once had value, But now, because it was foreshadowed or revealed the mystery of Christ. Now, when he is revealed, that has no more value. So all these models and parables were of all one thing, Jesus Christ. All the prophets and all the law prophesied until John the Baptist. And after him, when his head was cut off, it revealed the fullness of Jesus. And so, everything in the universe, every detail from the beginning of time is, in fact, every knee is bowing and every tongue is confessing that he is Lord, because there can be nothing in time and space that isn't of him. Do you understand that? The only question is, have you been apprehended by it? Are you still thinking that there's something wrong with that person, or you wish you had different circumstances, or you regret that you're in whatever you're in, or on ad nauseum, wanting something to be different than it is? Okay, so that's the predicate for what we're about to look at here. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if we'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. No, do you understand what that means?
No.
If it's, what is it? You have an evil heart of unbelief. What does that mean? It means I don't believe in Jesus? No. It means you want to add stuff to Jesus. It means you don't see it's finished. A little bit.
It's like you're not yielding to him. You're yielding to your lusts and desires and wants.
Or needs.
And needs, and that's your heart then.
You yield to your, that, what you, yeah. So today is the day. Today is the big day. Today, if you will harden not your hearts. How do you harden your heart? You silently say, that's bullshit. Or you, that's impossible. I have to do stuff. Amen? All right. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today.
I hate that verse.
Well, you better love it.
I just hate that verse.
Exhort one another daily, while it is still called today, lest there be in any of you, lest there any of you be hard-hearted through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. So it's all about today and hardening not your hearts. The hardening of your hearts is that's what everything in the universe is trying to do.
Oh, yeah. And it can happen in a nanosecond.
Right. That's why exhort one another daily. Exhort. Exhort. Cause to pass from one state of being to another. Cause to pass from time and space to eternity. Cause to pass from this world to the mercy seat. But the minute you see somebody giving breath to that which is in time and space, it says you can't love God then. You see why he's waited so long for his people to sit down? To be at rest?
Keep thinking about this example where Moses had struck the rock instead of just speaking to the rock.
Amen. Gary, you're deep in thought again.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about God's heart and wisdom and what his desire for his people is, and to not, like you say, know when to kick the tree or whatever. He doesn't want to force or remake you by his power, because then it's
robotic. Yeah, then there, well, then there's no, he can't have fellowship.
There's no real fellowship there. And so, so the burden that he has to let us be and wait till we see and really love.
Yeah, he's got to sit on his hands.
Yeah.
Well, because we've already, in his eyes, we've already been created. You know?
He's seen the end of the movie.
Yeah, he's seen it. He's watching the parade.
But I beg of you, don't excuse your actions or your way of being in time and space by saying, I needed to do that. Or, I'm going to just keep doing this until God kicks my ass. Or, well, I'm just being me. Or, well, you don't understand. That's not the kind of person I am. Or ad nauseum again. John? Did you see anything this morning?
I see a lack of a fear of God. We don't fear God. We deluded ourselves into making exceptions. We don't really... allows us to.
Amen.
Make exceptions for ourselves. Rules are for you guys. God's merciful, so that's what it means, but not in this particular case because there's extenuating circumstances. Suddenly, based on what we read today, your heart is hard.
You can't, you got to see that this whole mystery of God is digital. It's not progressive. He's fully finished his work. And you accept that. Or, he's fully finished his work, but I have to do this. Then you've gone back down to the bottom. Now, fortunately, when you do that, God, well, the Holy Spirit is assigned
right.
to be your enemy.
Right.
And so you learn money to put in a bag full of holes. And the little you get, he'll blow on. And all the rest of them. Until you, Father, forgive me. I repent. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Justify anything in time and space.
There is a space or a gap maybe that exists between what you say you believe and how you live your life. And that gap, that space, that amount, whatever that difference is a hard heart.
Right. And that's what we must exhort one another daily. There are no exceptions. You know, if you see me doing something that or getting upset about something, then you got to exhort me. The one I love is when Carolyn did it.
That's where I see the fear of God the most is in exhortations and stuff like that. Because it must be done.
I got to go too, so take it, big guy. No, I just got to do the phone. I got a phone thing. That's just why I ate early. This is how I used to talk. Oof. You gotta get the oof.
You didn't think I could do that.